Father, we humble ourselves. We sit at your footstool. And we welcome your presence to teach us. When we're with you, we get changed. So we wait on you. And we expect good things out of your goodness to touch our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, if we could have the house lights brought up just a little bit so I can keep an eye on you this morning. Wonderful. There we go. Great. See all the way to my Coburg people in the back there? I see you. It's great. Well, welcome to church this morning, and I have a few specific messages to share with you today that is on my heart that I'm very excited to share with you. And, you know, it's a special day for me because my mom and dad are still with me. They've been here all week and here last week, my mom and dad, Bob and Ann, to my left. But I also have another special guest here, and then she took, planes, trains, and automobiles to get here from the West Coast. And I want to introduce you to my sister, Trinity. If Trinity could stand and wave to everyone. My sister, older by a few years, and if I ever needed a second mom, she could fill that role, as older sisters probably are good at. I don't need it, but she would do excellent at that. And Trinity, I'm so glad that you're here, and your consistent and unconditional love for me, which has always been, ever for will be. Love you. So glad you're here to be with us. Well, how many of you were here last weekend on Father's Day when we talked and we had a panel up here? Ryan, you were here. That's great. You remember that. Pastor Kevin, yeah. Marlene. Well, we had a few different discussions with my dad and Pastor Kevin. We talked about fathers, birth fathers, natural fathers, spiritual fathers, and what is the purpose of being a father. And I wanted to just recap that before we jump into today's message. What do healthy spiritual fathers look like? What do they do? Who are they? What do spiritual fathers and natural fathers have in common? Well, just to clarify, my father and my uncle Bill were here a couple summers ago, and we had a doorway into our dining room, a doorway maybe 36 inches wide from the kitchen to the dining room. But how many prefer an open concept style of living where you can see people through the different rooms? Well, that's what we wanted at our house. And it might come to a shock, but I actually like people to come over and visit and eat food with me and drink coffee and that kind of stuff. So it's easier when you can see your guests. So we wanted an open concept. So I thought, let's move that little area like 3 or 4 feet bigger so you can see, or 4 or 5 feet maybe even 6 feet, you know. But by the time I got home, my uncle and my dad, contractors, they moved the beam and put a new beam up, and it was about almost 8 feet open from one side of the room to the other. It used to be a doorway, and now it spanned almost 8 feet. And it was a grand arch looking now all the way across the room. You can look across 3 rooms now. It's like 42 feet long you can see across. The open concept I wanted. And when I looked at those arches, that's when God spoke to me, and he said, that's what fathers do. That's what healthy fathers do, is they open doors for you, and they bring expansion and opportunities to your life. Healthy fathers make room for you. They give you opportunities for success, and here's another thing they give you, responsibility. Fathers don't just give you things and then walk away. They give you things, and they say, okay, you're in charge of this now. You have more responsibility. That's what a healthy father does. Now, we didn't all grow up with perfect fathers. That's not what I'm talking about. We've all have our own story of fatherhood. And last week we said, if you had a difficult time growing up with your natural father, here's the good news, is by faith in Jesus Christ, you can have a good, perfect heavenly father. So any of us in this room can have a do-over and say, okay, God, I give you permission. Would you please father me in Jesus' name? That's a dangerous prayer to pray, I admit. God will take you on a journey if you say, God, I give you permission to father me. Because we all have holes that our dads weren't able to fill. Because there's no perfect dad except our Heavenly Father. So in a nutshell, here's what healthy fathers are all about. Healthy fathers do not live for themselves. In a community and in an age where we are trained to be selfish and think about me, healthy fathers put other people first. They put their sons and daughters, their spouse, they put the closest people around them first. They don't look and say, what's my me time? They say, God, you're my time. And then after that, I give my life away. There is no room for selfishness, pride, what about me type of talk from fathers. Because fathers are leaders, and a leader is a servant. And so we don't think about ourselves, even though we have healthy boundaries, and we meet with God, and we know love, but we don't focus on us. It's so freeing when you can focus on other people and on God and not on yourself. So fathers, if you're stuck and you feel like you've been focusing on yourself too much, get around some other dudes that have figured it out. And they'll remind you, no, we're going this way. We're not focusing on ourselves. So that's what I wanted to remind you of from last week. Today, my title is Promotion, Advancing with God. And I was preparing for today, and God reminded me a picture of this measuring tape. Now, how many of you have used these? How many know that it's easier when to look at the inches side, not the metric side? So the Americans were right about some things. I'll be careful here. Okay, so I wonder why God would show me a picture of a measuring tape. Now, I'm not getting any promotional money back from this company from showing this off. Now, I want to read a verse to you, and we'll jump back to it. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, one to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Verse 16, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. Verse 18, but he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Famous parable. We've taught on it a couple times this past year. I just want to reopen that up. Because as God was giving me this picture of this measuring tape, I want to say it out loud again. I believe that our church is in a season of going forward, and God is trying to prepare you to do new things and new advancements in your life. That's why I called this Sunday Promotion Sunday. My son graduated from high school on Wednesday, and that was awesome. Rory graduated, I think, on the same day, was it? Yeah, Rory graduated. Awesome. Caleb graduated. Yeah, there's probably, now I don't know all the graduates, but Caleb and Jesse, right? Jesse graduated. Okay, Jesse was Belleville Athlete of the Year for the whole city. And if you've ever been to one of her wrestling meets, you'd know why. She destroys those people. She's awesome. Gideon as well. We'll give him a round of applause. Zach, I don't know if he's here, but Zach graduated. Okay, if you're here and you're a graduate, please stand up. Let's do that. Come on, graduates, stand up. Caleb, oh yeah. Hey! There's Rory in the back. Okay. These guys got promoted. You may be seated. Thank you. I didn't have that in my notes, but it went well. Honor other people. Okay. So, Promotion is when you're going forward, right? It's not going backwards. We don't get demoted, promoted. And I believe that God wants to promote you in your life right now. They finished, they crossed a line, they did what they needed to do to cross that line, and therefore they received their different certificates, diplomas, and things, and were promoted past that high school career. So now they're in a new phase of life. They don't need to go back to high school and redo that. They're past that line. I believe that God wants to do that in your life. That he wants you to go past some lines and have you move forward. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, the reason he gave me this picture of a tape measure, could you guys just physically put your hands out, and like your palms up, and put your hands out? Adam, could you come up real quick just to illustrate? I felt like God saying, okay, put your hands out. And then he measures. He goes, okay, great. Yeah, okay, he wants more. Yeah, there we go. Okay, 32. So 32 inches. Thank you, Adam. God's like, okay, I'm just doing some measuring here. Great, 32 inches. I have some talents for you. Here you go. The next person comes up, different size hands, different abilities, different assignments. He goes, thank you. Measuring, here you go. Here's some stuff. Next person, measuring. Okay, here you go. So what we're going to do today is take some steps on how to prepare to receive that stuff and put it into action so that your promotion is going to happen. Okay, so the picture is God is measuring things, and then he gives you the allotted talents according to that measurement, and then we go activate it. That's going to lead to promotion. That's going to lead to advancement. That's going to lead to abundance. So that's our thinking. He is measuring out what he wants, and he's putting it in your hands. So let's start with step one. Let's go through this passage. Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 14. Step one, God gives his kingdom to his own. Our job is to be his. We might get complicated and think we have to do a lot of things to get stuff from God. You know what he really wants you to be? His. By faith, you're his son or daughter. Remember, it's through adoption, not through work. So once you believe in Jesus Christ, God's son, he adopts you into his family, and now you're a co-heir and you have inheritance coming your way. So if you look at verse 14, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far-off country who called his own servants. Notice he didn't call someone else's servants. These were his servants. You are his sons and daughters. So once you're his, how many know it's a lot easier to give stuff to people when you know them and trust them? It's not a stranger, is it? Those were his servants. So in God's kingdom, we're his servants. We're sons and daughters first, but then we are his servants second. So he's going to come to you as his own. How many know that if we're doing our own thing all the time and we're not listening to God, we're disobeying, we're just enjoying sin more than we're enjoying him, God's like, well, I want to do some stuff in your life, but you kind of are doing your own thing. I think he waits for us to come to him. So your job this morning is say, God, I'm ready. Here's my hands. Go ahead and measure out what you want to put in it. Turn my ears on. Turn my heart on. Say, go ahead. No one can do that for you. God's not going to force this stuff on you. So I pray today that your heart is soft and you get your hands out. So that's step one, is to be his. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Trust his son for your eternity and for your now. Step two, he will give you his resources. I've got good news. You don't have to come up with your own. Who's tired of trying to be their own provider all the time? How many know that that's how most of us were brought up, is you provide for yourself. Be a self-made man, self-made woman. Work harder. Get your stuff. And in that message, there's part of it's true, part of it's wrong. A great work ethic is correct. Strong work is wonderful. But how many know we are not our own providers? The Bible says we have a heavenly Father, and fathers are the providers. So it says here, verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, and to another he gave 2, and to another he gave each according one, and each to his own according to his own ability. So here's the good news. He will give you his resources. Where do these talents come from? Talents meaning treasure or finances or money that they could go. Did these people have to come up with their own talents? No. Do you have to come up with your own talents to be used by God and have a good life? It's very freeing. I always used to thought I had to do it all. But what if God already has it and now he's looking for his sons and daughters to entrust his resources? So your job, get your hands out when he's walking around with his measuring tape and he says, okay, great, here you go, boom. Don't wait to try to do it on yourself. Say, God, I'm ready for your resources to enter my life. It takes the pressure off and it puts you in a stewardship role instead of a provider role. He will give you his resources. His job for you is not based on what you already have. Because he can bring new things. Remember, these people in the parable didn't have these talents before, did they? They received them new. I want you to look for new things. Starting this week, starting today, starting the next several weeks, look for new things that God's going to do in your life. Expect him to bring talents he's never brought to you before. Don't look for the old talents. Remember, these were new talents. So you go, wow, God, I've never done this before. I've never received this before. I've never been asked this before. Go start thinking, oh, this could be God. He could be giving me new things. He measures it out and brings it to you according to his opinion of your abilities, not your opinion. He said, I'll give it to his ability, what he thought your ability was. Isn't that freeing? I mean, I had a job once, and Katrina and I were looking for jobs, and my friend Gareth sent me a job description, posting, yeah. It was like this thick, and it looked like you had to have like an MBA and a financial accounting degree. And I said, what are you doing giving me this job? I'm underqualified. I don't even know what most of these words mean. He said, don't talk like that. I said, just keep going. I read through the thing. I'm like, what? It was that thick. I said, I don't think this is the right job for me. I said, I don't think I'm qualified. And he said, Mark, I will never send you a job description that you're qualified for. That's not how God works. That's what he told me. I said, oh, I had to change my way of thinking. He goes, why would I send you something you're qualified for? I was like, oh, I got to get my faith hat back on. He was trying to stretch me. God will give you his resources according to his opinion of your abilities. So if he gives you one talent, you say, thank you, God, I will be faithful. He gives you five, thank you, God, I've never been this far, but I'll be faithful with it. It's okay. Don't worry about the amount. Let him decide your abilities. And when he gives it to you, say, well, if God thinks so, I think so too. If God thinks I can handle it, I guess here we go. If Dad says I can do it, right? You got to change your thinking. Not your opinion of yourself or your mistakes in your past, but what God says about you today. And you go, wow, okay, God, really? Never been this far before, but I'll take it. You might do it with a little fear and a lot more prayer, which I suggest. Get your prayer life going. Don't do it in your own strength. Call your friends and say, let's get praying. God just brought the talents. I need some help. I need some wisdom. Now, start small and you go big. Can I tell you a story? When I was in Seattle, I met a man. He was a guest speaker at one of our monthly meetings. His name was Edmund C. Moy, born in 1957. And he worked as an insurance agent for an American insurance company. He was so happy because he got his first job out of college. He was a triple major, so he was not dumb. And to get three majors in 4 years is fast. So he was a brilliant guy. He got an insurance job. He got a car with his job. He goes, I'm rich. They threw him the keys because he had to drive around and sell insurance all over Wisconsin. And he would drive around. And they said, here's your mileage report. Here's your personal mileage. Here's your work mileage. Just turn it in every week or month. Okay. He was so excited driving around, selling, making money. He'd handed in his sheet to his boss. And the boss said, oh, come here, Edmund, I need to talk to you. What? What? He goes, there's a problem. He goes, what is it? He said, what's this on this side? He said, that's my personal. You know, on the weekend when I drive the car, I know it's a work car, so I have to record only the personal for personal, and then the work is for work. He goes, oh, we don't really do that here. Well, that's what you told me. That's what they told me at HR. I fill this side for personal, this side for work. He goes, yeah, no, we don't do the personal side. It just all goes on work. He goes, oh, and he left. But he turned it in with the personal and the work. Next week comes, he fills it out again, personal and work. The boss is a little more frustrated and said, Edmund, come to my office. He goes, what are you doing? Why did you fill it out both? He said, well, this is my personal from work. And then this side is Monday through Friday. He goes, yeah, I know, but I told you, we don't do that here. We used to have some benefits. They took those benefits away. And so now we just decided we'll just use that. All the personal goes under work because we think it's fair. And it kind of levels out in the big picture. He goes, well, I don't think so. And so he turned it in with the personal and the work. The next week, his boss was irate, screaming, yelling at Edmund, get into my office. He goes, what are you doing? I told you to fill it all out on work. And he said, I can't lie. I'm a Christian. He said, if you don't do it like we do, HR is going to see it and they're going to flag it. And they're going to wonder why the whole office isn't doing personal. He goes, you're going to get fired. He goes, well, if I have to get fired, I'll get fired. He did. He had been given certain talents from God. He wouldn't lie, steal, or cheat. He did a simple thing with his entry-level job. Well, he started getting promoted. Then he served as the director of Office of Management Care for the Healthcare for the Finance Administration during George H. Bush's administration. And after I met him, he had told me from he worked for some private companies. And then in 2001 to 2006, he served the George W. Bush administration as a special assistant to the president. Then he oversaw the election and selection of candidates for presidential appointments in the general areas of human, natural, and cultural resources. So the day that a president gets elected in the U.S., they have about 5 months to hire like 2,000 people. They work 7 days a week, 12, 14-hour days, not one day off. You have to hire all those people personally, find out who it is, get their selections, ask them, and they have to say yes. He was that guy. They got so busy, they started burning out. They said, we should have a Bible study. So they have a Bible study every day during the week. Pretty soon, there was a Bible study every day of the week. And then he said, the Pentagon found out. They said, how come you guys have Bible studies? We don't have Bible studies. We want Bible studies. So they had more Bible studies at the Pentagon. Because they just lived at work for those months until the inauguration. And he was trying to tell you, if you start small and just tell the truth and don't cheat in the little things, God might give you one talent, but at the end, his final appointment, he became the director of the U.S. Mint. And that was his title. He was appointed as the director of the U.S. Mint. But do you think he would have been the U.S. Mint director if he would have lied about his insurance stuff back there with his car? Guys, we can't afford the little teeny foxes to lie. It doesn't matter. God gave me this, but I'm going to cheat on the side a little bit because, you know, the big man has been sticking it to me and I got to get it back. Don't play those games. God is your big man. God is your provider. You don't have to do any shortcuts with God. He has your back. As we say at my house, tell the truth and shame the devil. This all connects with Luke 16, if you want to put that in your margins for further study. Be faithful with one another's before you have your own, and be faithful with a little before you can be entrusted with much. Step 3. If we are going to grow when God gives us his resources, remember how Pastor Barry and others have taught you? What kind of receivers must we be in this age? Generous. We have to say yes to God instead of saying, no, I'm afraid. Yes to God, even if you don't know what you're doing. Yes to him is better than no, I'm afraid, I'm underqualified. Don't be so proud that you can't receive from God and his people. Don't become a self-made man or woman. Become a God-made man or woman. Allow your friends and people to help you. It's kind of like when I have an electrical question, I ask Pastor Kevin, probably with the other 40, 50 people in the church. Why do I do that? Why do I go to him? I trust him. He has the training. His father was an electrician. To him, it's like riding a bike or something. It's not hard for him. It's easy. So you got to have people in your life who you can go to and lean on, and don't do everything on your own. Let other people's gifts come into your life, and you do that through honor. When you honor one another, their gift will come into your life. When you dishonor one another, their gift will only be maybe 10, 20%. But when you honor them for who God's made them to be, and you make room for them, they can be their true self, and they can release their gift to you without even trying. So step three, be a generous receiver. Be careful with your yeses, but also be careful with your noes. When I was working at Espresso World back in the early 2000s, I remember the manager saying, oh, I want to make you an assistant manager. I'm going to teach you all about money and how to train and work with money and all this. And I said, no, I was a little afraid, and I wanted to get into ministry at the local church and have more experience at the church. Looking back, I went too fast. If I would have stayed and done some ministry and some management at the coffee shop, I would have gained multiple skills at once. But my insecurities came up, and I wanted to go to my safe place, which is the local church ministry, because I knew that one, and not get stretched into the business side of the management. So be careful with your yeses and your noes. Step four, take a risk and use what God has given you as an investment in other people or projects. This is verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. In other words, once God gives you your talents, he'll measure, he'll give you something new, and then our job is to go and use it. He doesn't want you to sit on it. He doesn't want fear. He wants you to use your gifts and talents and say, go for it. If you've been around the pastoral staff around here, and I came 11 years ago, they never wanted me to sit on any type of thing. They said, Mark, we'd rather have you go out, make lots of mistakes, and try in the kingdom of God than do nothing and play it safe. That's just their DNA. That's their lifestyle. That's how they think. And so they like to stretch people and say, no, go out. Don't sit on it. Go out. So if you feel timid, if you feel like you've been given talents, but you're afraid to use them, you got to get more love in your life from God. Love casts out fear. So get near God, let his love get in you, and you'll have a lot more confidence. You still have to use faith, and then find one or two people to pray with you, and you'll find yourself getting catapulted out into that new area. You are to trade. You are to make profit. You are to expand. You are to use your stuff. The words there in the Hebrew pretty much means to go and toil, to work, to do business, to trade, like to go do it. Whatever your assignment is, no one here has the same job. It's all of us have different jobs, but we're definitely supposed to go do it. Not to gain identity or favor with God, because we get that at home. We get our identity and favor at home by being a son or daughter of God. But when we go out to work, we're his workmanship. We are his servants. We are his sons and daughters. And we go out with a smile on our face and an attitude that we have more than enough. And when we don't have more than enough, we say, I don't know yet, but I believe God's going to come through. Now, people in the room might think you're crazy because they don't see it yet. But you got to be able to see it. You got to see into your father's heart and say, I'm not sure where that money's coming from for this or that. I don't sure where my housing is coming from yet. I don't know yet, but I'm believing and praying, and I'm ready to receive it when it comes in. I'll do my part. I'll fill out the application. I'll make the phone call, but I know God's going to be the one doing it. Step 5, here's a key. This is my pastor's heart here. Remain faithful with the talents that God has given you until he comes and says your job is done or gives you a new job. Faithfulness is so key. Pastor Adam and I have talked about that a lot with small groups and kingdom living. It's mostly about connection and faithfulness and building friendship and love. It's not a real fast track. This is not an immediate overnight success. Usually, God gives you something, and you have to have a season of being faithful with it before the promotion comes. Did you step out and use your gift and not allow fear, not allow people's lies to keep you bound in your current circumstances? Is your life changing? See, here in verse, it says here in Matthew chapter 25, says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. A long time. How many know sometimes it feels like a really long time? You're like, God, I got my talents, I'm working, but I haven't seen the promotion and the breakthrough yet. Wow. I know there's stories in this room. You've waited on God. Some of you are in the waiting right now. Don't give up. Don't throw your pearls before. Don't throw your talents on the ground and bury them. Don't go say, oh, well, it didn't happen last year. Didn't happen this year. Didn't happen 5 years. I don't care if it's 20 years. You've got to use those talents until God tells you something else. Don't ever stop using them. When God makes one phone call, one thing, he can change everything in a moment. When your promotion comes, it will be immediate. You won't have to wonder if God did it or not. It's done. Our job is to remain faithful with it. So you can ask yourself, have I been faithful with the things God has given me? Or have I been sitting on some talents? Those are only questions you can ask and answer. Step 6, this is a fun one. You are going to receive praise and adoration from God your Father. You're going to receive more responsibility through your promotion, not less. And you are going to receive an increase of joy and fellowship with the Lord. So what does promotion look like? More responsibility, more joy, and maybe some more talents to do it. You know, in our culture, we think, well, if I can get to the top, I'll do less work and I'll have the easy life. Remember, Jesus Christ, God's Son, is our example. He was at the top. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came down as a human, and he washed feet. He served. He bled and died for us. He showed us that when you're at the top, you're really the highest servant. So if you're in this room and you're aspiring to be a leader, a young leader, your job is to serve others. You make other people's lives better with your talents. That's what we do every day. Doesn't care if it's a factory, a school, a hospital, a pastor, a business owner. Our job is to make other people's lives better somehow with the gifts that we've been giving. That's what we do. Now, how many know it's a little hard to receive affection sometimes? Does it stretch you a little bit? You know, Pastor Kevin asked me last week, what's it like having a natural father who went to church and loved you and then having a spiritual father like him who loves and supports him? And I said, you know what? Sometimes it's awkward. As men, we were never trained how to receive love. Our moms did the best they could. They give us hugs and kisses, and we love that. But you know, it's weird as a man to receive affection from a man. I don't think we were trained how to do that. You know, we do the big bro hugs and the high fives and all that stuff. Deep voices and, you know, arm wrestling and, you know, jokes and stuff. And that's a part of our affection. That is real. But when my father and Pastor Kevin, they love me so deeply, it's beyond like it's supernatural love. And it's unconditional. And as a man, it's hard to receive that. You're just sitting there talking. You feel the love coming across the table, and I'm getting awkward over here. Going, wow, they like me that much? And I didn't even do anything. They just love. That's God's love, right? You can't earn it. It just is. And I told them, as a man, I had to learn to receive that love. I was used to it from my dad growing up with him. But as other men came into my life, if you know Mike Lockwood, this guy is a lover. He'll come up and just hold you and squeeze you and bend you like a bear. And like he is not afraid to show his love. And I'm just a generous receiver now. You know, I just get in there. He just holds me. Now, I don't do that with all the men in the church. Let's clarify that. We have trust in a good relationship. Boundaries. There is a phase in your promotion that you will receive a lot more love. Don't fight it. It is awkward, but learn to be generous and to accept that. And just a final warning before we wrap up. Stop trying to use other people's talents. God measured out and he gives you a talent. He gives Adam two and this person three and Sarah four. And we're looking over there going, well, God, they got four. He's got two, he's got three, he's got one, he's got a half, he's got five, she's got... What are we doing looking at other people's talents? It's a waste of time. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't use other people's stuff. That's called stealing. That's called jealousy. God wants you to use your stuff. You're his child. He'll decide what you get. Be thankful. Say, got it. Thank you. Awesome, God. I'm going to use it to my full. I'm not looking over there, but I will celebrate with them. And if they're mourning, I will mourn with them, but I'm not going to be envious of their stuff. It's not for me. So step one, stay close to God. You're his child. Be in a personal relationship with him. Two, look for new and better talents coming your way this week and beyond. Look for the new thing. Three, be a generous receiver. Say, thank you. Yes, I got it. Don't say no to fear. Take risks. Take godly risks. Obey God when he gives you these new things. Step five, remain faithful to his word, not the world. Remain faithful to his word, not the world. The pressures will come, the temptations will come, but just say yes to God and do what the scriptures say. Lastly, rejoice, celebrate with your increased responsibility, your increased affection, and your increased joy. Okay, so that's what you can look for coming on the way. So can we stand this morning? I just want to pray, and I want you to activate your faith and say, I'm ready for God to measure some things out and put new talents in my hand. And if that's you, you don't have to do that. This is a free will. If you're ready for those new talents, then I want you to put your hands out when I pray and expect God to measure some things and prophetically start dropping stuff into your hand. Okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we put our hands out, and I ask boldly, Father of all creation, Master Builder, to come with your prophetic measuring tape right now across this audience and those online. Would you measure us out? Would you measure us prophetically? And I ask for a deposit of new talents right now in Jesus' name to be released and to go forth on the hands of our people in new ways and new talents and new amounts that they've never had before. And that they will take the steps to walk out in faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.